Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode of the Yet Another Gaming Show. It was supposed to be episode 300 this week.
Oh, you screwed it up.
Yeah,
I think we should be honest with the people.
No,
it was supposed.
It's campaign season. There is no such thing as honesty until November is over.
I just think we should be that island of honesty. In a very dishonest world.
Spread the truth.
Exactly.
Spread the truth, brother. What is it?
This is supposed to be episode 300, but then I had to go and get...
Cancer.
Get appendix cancer. So we did not do a show last week. So this is the episode 299-ish or so.
We even offered to do it by your bedside.
We did.
As you were dying.
And I was briefly considering it, but I decided...
I thought the agreement was grill side while he's inside suffering.
That was another option
that
was floated. But none of that happened. So we got lots to catch up on. It was a big week this week. Lots of fun things going on. But we can't get anywhere without welcoming our very, very special guest. Not Ian, although he's special. He's just not a guest.
I'm special in my own way.
You are very special. Mike is also special.
No.
No, you're not?
No.
Oh, all right. But our special guest this week, returning by popular demand, actually, the one and only Chris Cluey. Holding down his couch, apparently, in California. How's it going, sir?
It's good. It's going real good.
Good, good. You're taking advantage of your time off now?
Yes, I am. I'm actually on the way right now to the gaming store I opened up for War Machine Night, so that'll be fun.
You opened a gaming store, did you?
Yes, in Costa Mesa.
Oh, wow.
I from what I've seen on Twitter and the other internets, it seems to be largely dedicated to your love of War Machine.
Yeah, mainly tabletop gaming type stuff. We also have Magic the Gathering and other assorted card games, but it's primarily for the war nouns of your choice.
I like war nouns.
Yeah, war nouns.
War nouns.
Yeah. That could be an awesome like tablet wordsmith game.
Well, there is a game coming out by the guys who do
like Wordfighter or something like that.
Yeah, I forget what it's called, but there's Bookworm Adventures, which is similar, but there's a game where it's made by the guys who did Kingdom of Loathing. And it's
okay.
That art style, but you're using words to fight. It's like a traditional role playing game, but you're using words as weapons.
I don't know why, but all of a sudden I'm thinking that fist puncher game. I don't know why that popped back into my head.
You're really down on the fist puncher. You really dislike that title.
Yeah, well, I'm not so much as Ashley, but
I like kick kicker. But you know, that wasn't a.
No, it's flick kicker.
That's flick kicker. NFL kick kicker. No, that's something. That's Chris, actually. What am I thinking? So Chris, I mean, it's been a while since you've been on the show. Have you played anything in that months or so, or have you taken a life of monkhood?
I've stayed away from the monasteries, you know, tried to keep that kind of on the back burner. I figure once I'm done with football, then I can retreat to a mountaintop somewhere. Right now, actually, I'm playing The Secret World, which is
excellent.
Quite a bit of fun. Yeah, it's the storyline and kind of the general atmosphere of the game is great. It's got this whole Lovecraftian secret society, like conspiracy vibe thing going, which is pretty cool. Unfortunately, the combat is pretty bland. So if you're going to play it more for the plot and the, you know, kind of the storyline rather than because it's got any sort of interesting combat.
So how would you compare it to something like Warcraft, World of Warcraft?
I'd say that in terms of the world they've built, it's much better because it ties in a lot of just kind of that horror aspect, creepy, like, conspiracy, you know, tinfoil hat type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the factions that you can join have like the Illuminati and that stuff.
Yeah, like the Illuminati, the Templar, and like the Dragon. They're these secret societies, and basically the occult world is kind of spilling over into the real world, and you're trying to keep it from happening. So it's very cool in that they have a bunch of quests that are, you know, they have your standard fetch quests and kill quests, but they also have some that are just investigative quests where you have to figure out like what you're supposed to do in this quest, and they give you, you know, they'll give you hints, but it's, you have to do research, and there's a reason that the web browser built into the game is because you're going to have to research your material.
Oh, wow. So, like, basically hook up with Wikipedia and go crazy for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there was one where you had to reference a Bible verse to figure out what the passcode was to, like, a keypad. So So, I mean, I've never seen anything like that in a game before. So stuff like that's pretty cool. Other than that, though, like I said, you know, you can see a lot of the traditional MMO elements in it. One thing I do like is that there's no levels. Basically, every time you do quests or get experience, you get skill points and talent points. And then you can invest those in whatever you want. There's like 9 different talent trees, and then your skills are basically how well you do with each of the weapons in the game. So it's very open-ended on how you can develop your character.
So once you get the talent points, can you rearrange them however you want, or once you set them, are they kind of locked in stone?
No. That's the great thing, is that you can rearrange what talents you have at any time. So and you keep every talent that you've invested points into. So case in point, a couple days ago I was doing a dungeon, and I was in my DPS mode, and my group was failing miserably. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna switch over to my healing talents. And then my group was still doing miserably, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to do like a mix of healing and tanking. and as long as you carry, you know, the right gear for it, then you can swap between any role you want and develop pretty much any kind of class you want in the game.
Awesome.
Is it possible you just have terrible friends? Does respecking help for that?
Wait, say that again? Sorry.
Nothing. It was a stupid joke. Never mind.
He basically was saying that you have friends who don't know how to play the game.
Oh, yeah.
No?
Yeah, I wish I had friends that played it, because then I wouldn't have terrible groups. Respecking probably won't help your friend.
All right. We'll go right into that. We got 2 weeks of new releases here, and that I think that forces us to only talk about the good stuff.
We're going to kind of cherry pick from our list here. So going back 2 weeks to should have been episode 299, we have The Secret World, Spelunky for Xbox 360. I had a chance to play the old PC version.
Yep,
for that.
I played that too.
That is a punishing game. It's like Super Meat Boy.
It's an indie game. Aren't they all punishing? Yeah. I mean, isn't that kind of the thing now?
Yeah. It's really like it's punishing to the point that you want to keep playing, where you just don't want to throw the controller and walk away in rage. Mm-hmm. So
not like Super Meat Boy, where I just want to like quit the game.
I love
like
that game.
The first time I played that game, I got really upset because I like threw some. There's like, you know, it's Spelunky. You're going through the caves and all this shit, and I accidentally threw something at the shopkeeper, which in most games is like, you know, who cares? He actually reacts and he shot me and killed me.
That's awesome. But
like he whipped a gun out and shot me. I'm like, I didn't even know I was throwing anything.
Well,
like,
that's what I would do if you threw something at me.
I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't justified, but I felt a little betrayed at that point. I'm like, I just wanted to buy a lantern.
Well, that is not the way. You can't just throw money at shopkeepers.
I think I threw a box at him, so well, I don't know if that's even less communicative.
It probably a wooden box, and it probably hurt when it hit him.
Probably.
Yeah, so
I'm not saying I blame him. I'm just saying.
You have to consider his feelings.
Yeah, that's true.
Next up on the list is Square Enix's Creating Words. Theater Rhythm? Yeah, combine theater and rhythm, take out one of the R's. And an E.
Well, the economy's tight. You can't be just throwing R's around.
Yeah, but it's a Final Fantasy, basically, rhythm-based game where there's 3 game types. There's kind of more of an action battle rhythm game. There's like you're going to conduct the symphony playing it. And then there's like you're kind of more so strolling through the park and just kind of hitting the beats. I did.
So it's Beat Agent mixed with...
Exactly, and it's fantastic because it has music through 1 through 13. In there, and then you can pick characters, and there's RPG elements where you can level up your characters and kind of build your squad.
You're good at musicking.
I don't know. I'm really liking the game so far. It's kind of like when I thought back when they put Guitar Hero on DS, and it sucked because you actually had the buttons to play, you know, to push.
Oh, you got the claw because your hand was not meant to hold for that long.
Especially with, you know, sizable hands, it doesn't work. Where this actually, I feel like it works. It's easy to take into bite-sized increments, just kind of, you know, play the game for a little bit. And they do have DLC. They are planning DLC for it, where they're going to release new music packs for it and whatnot.
So where do you have they said what the music packs will be from?
I haven't found that.
Nickelback.
Hopefully. One can only hope. But whenever I search for it, all I see is people in previews being iffy if the game's going to be any good.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't really found too much on the DLC packs yet.
I wonder if they'll go other Square Enix games.
I've heard a lot of hope for the Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, I could see that. The Bouncer soundtrack. I don't remember any of the songs, but just to bring that game back into public consciousness, I think would be funny.
I don't know if that's the thing that actually should happen.
A lot of people dig that game.
It's pretty sad when I got to bring a game back to GameStop later that day because I've already beaten the game four times.
Well, it was designed for very quick completion, but that's not that fault. That's not Square Enix's fault.
Chris, what's the chance of getting Tripping Icarus into that game?
Let's see, Square Enix, so it would probably take about 5 years for them to develop their own proprietary music software to sort of translate our music. So it's probably not good.
So it'll be on the 3DS 2 XLI then. That is what
with like 8 more letters added in there because it's what Nintendo does.
So coming this week, big game for football fans, not quite Madden, but NCAA Football 13. Mike, any thoughts?
Don't care because they eliminated the ability to transfer your rosters from college to the pros. Like, you can't import the draft class into Madden.
Why not?
The rumor is, and I don't have it confirmed, but it's because they're losing the NCAA license after this year. And so in order to apparently avoid whatever issues, they just decided to drop that system altogether now. Like, you can't bring in your Road to the Heisman character into the single player type mode in the Madden anymore. You can't bring in your draft class. There's no continuity between NCAA 13 and Madden 13 anymore. So it's kind of like my motivation to play it really is just it's not there anymore. That, and we live in an area that has a really shitty football program. So
depends on who you ask.
It's a shitty football program.
I'm just saying. Doesn't stop people from liking it.
I know, but the Gophers are not a football. The U of M is not a football school.
So moving away from Mike's college football rant, we have DayZ for the PC. Now this is an
DayZ.
Day as in a day.
Oh, DayZ. Oh, yeah.
You were telling me about this today.
Well,
actually,
did you read that article about someone getting held hostage in the game?
I've read a bunch of articles about DayZ. It's one of those where. Day, it's day as in
the day of the week.
Day of the week, and then Z is the letter Z. Yeah, so day Z, I guess, would be a good. But it's just one of those where when you hear someone say it, it doesn't sound like what it looks like.
I bet when they were creating that, never said the name out loud.
I'm sure. Well, it's Arma. It's a mod for Arma, which is a PC game. And
now, is this? Do you have to have Arma to play this, or is this a separate thing? Kind of like Dota became its own separate.
No,
you
have to. It's a mod. It's okay. Like Counter Strike was.
They're charging for the mod, I believe.
They are charging for the mod. I don't remember if Arma is free or not.
I don't know.
Chris, can you help me on this here? Are you a first person shooter guy?
Not a lot lately. I actually have heard about the mod though, because a lot of people have been asking me if I've played it. As far as I know, the mod is free, but you have to pay for Arma. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, it's kind of like how Counter-Strike was for Half-Life.
Okay.
So you buy the base game and then you add the mod to it. But yeah, it's basically like I was explaining to Mike today. It's basically like a very realistic Walking Dead simulator. Is really what it is. I mean, you have to bandage your own wounds and find your own food,
and then have a love triangle.
I'm sure you could.
So I don't want to play it now then.
moving away from Mike again, we have Quantum Conundrum coming to the 360 and the PS3.
Stepping away from Mike quietly.
Actually, I really like that game though. So,
did you see the game show?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
So I didn't put this in the news thing, but I just saw this today. There is a game show that is being hosted by ex-G4 anchor douche Kevin Pereira. That they're doing a game show version of Quantum Conundrum.
Oh, yeah. They already talked about that before. And
did they?
Yeah. Yeah, where they're going to have that kind of thing where it's like, all right, you've got to be able to do the stuff, and we'll throw kind of, you know, situations to you. This is one of those games, though. Quantum Conundrum is a game I'm surprised didn't launch with Steam Workshop. Because I really feel like that game is going to be even better when you can have user-generated content and whatnot. Kind of like, I feel like a lot of games that are on Steam get really awesome when you have some really imaginative people creating some really awesome content.
I think there might have been some concern that Quantum Conundrum wouldn't be that big of a hit.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just making that up. But
it's like the Dungeon Defenders has Steam Workshop.
Well, yeah, and Dungeon Defenders has also been out for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
I think introduce a feature once you get enough of a big of a fan base to warrant it. Kind of like Skyrim didn't have it originally, and then once it came out, it started going gamebusters.
I mean, Steam, the impression that I've gotten from talking with certain developers that have done stuff with PC and Steam and all that stuff is that Steamworks is kind of tricky to just because you have to do it so that you can't completely destroy the game.
Yeah.
By modding it. So I can see that being kind of a day two kind of feature that they do. It's like, let's get this thing working and build an audience first before we put in the effort of making it Steam Workshop capable.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's a good game. I think it'll be even better once you can add that capability to it.
Yeah, I was amazed at how quickly, like, the game had been out for, like, 2 days, and we were already seeing, like, speedrun videos made for it. It's like, wow. Granted, speedrun people are crazy, so, I mean, that doesn't really shock me, but it was more just...
Their enjoyment in life comes from a drastically different place than my enjoyment in life.
Yes, I think that's a very diplomatic way of saying it. So is that it for new releases?
Yeah, I put my phone away. I think we're done.
Okay. Very good.
The last thing on the list was Bingo Rush for the iPhone, which I think...
I can't believe you skipped that.
Pretty monumental release in our history.
But can I...
Didn't you do a video for it,
No.
speedrun of...
Speedrun of Bingo.
B9.
I think that's what we should do. We should do speedruns for games that aren't timed.
So... Or like just the original like Caesar's Palace game for like
SNES.
Yeah, the SNES. We'll do a speedrun.
Just playing roulette. Just playing roulette.
Paigao poker or whatever on there.
Or maybe do the opposite route where you do like slow runs. It's like
well, you put down the controller and go eat a pizza.
But no, you actually have to be doing something. I think there's a weird game show in this somewhere, but it's
we'll have to look at the Japanese market.
We really do.
Try to see
speedrun for Tetris.
Speedrun for Tetris. Yeah, there we go.
Try to see if you can finish every level in Mario with only 1 second left.
Yeah, just stand there.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do. I could do a speedrun where it's like, I can beat Mario in under 15 days. Like, I could do that.
You'd probably give up on day 14, though.
Like, fuck it, I'm just going to beat this Bowser. Oh, well. And then I would just be shame. I would just be like, why? The hell's wrong with me?
See, you should have tried that when you were dying of appendix cancer.
You know, I felt like an ass. Okay, so
because you betrayed our fans by not having an episode 299.
Well, yeah, because I couldn't have waited till after we recorded to have my insides explode
to have your cancer.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But no, I kind of felt bad because I was in the hospital for grand total about 40 hours or so.
Too long.
So, and I was kind of upset because I didn't want to ask if they had a Child's Play thing there.
Do you have like an SNES on a cart from the 90s?
I was just like,
Mario Kart would be awesome right now.
Well, I didn't want to take video game systems away from like, leukemia kids or something like that.
You walk down to the pediatrics and just punch a kid and just take his Game Boy? Like, no.
But I was really tempted to ask, like, if you could hook me up here, I'm kind of bored. My wife's at work. So I'm not getting visited by anybody. So it's like, can you help me out here? But I declined. I thought better of it.
Well, I'm going to have the hindsight in that if I ever have anything where I have to be rushed to the ER, I'm just going to tell Laurel to unplug the Xbox or
grab the tablets.
Yeah,
grab everything.
Grab the
it.
PS3. I need to do some Deus Ex.
Well, my wife did bring my tablet, but I used it for work. Sadly, so
boring.
I know. I feel terrible. So, lots of news to talk about here. Do we want to start with the big story or ease up into it?
I don't know what the big story is, so just pick something on the list and let's do it.
Well, we were talking a little bit about Final Fantasy earlier.
Yes.
With the theater rhythm.
Yeah, theater rhythm.
Theater rhythm. That's terrible.
I can't, because we had this discussion when it was announced, and I can't remember how the hell it was. This is why we needed Ashley here.
Well, no, Ashley adds nothing to the Final Fantasy VII discussion.
She wants it.
I know, and by that extension, she adds nothing to it.
No. So what's the article?
So Final Fantasy VII, they're re-releasing it on PC.
Yes.
Very soon, and I say re-releasing because they actually did release it on PC in what was a famously broken port back about 15 years ago.
God, that was that long ago.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Jeez. And it was terrible. I had the PC version of that game.
Did you hate yourself?
And it was like, it was like they gave it to like a freshman programming class and said, here, port this to PC. It was really, really buggy and really terrible. Well, hopefully...
So they gave it to Bethesda.
Well, yes. but the watch your mouth, otherwise you're not going to get another Fallout. Just saying.
I have a very love-hate relationship with
Bethesda. I know you do, but you only ever express the hate.
No, because...
You're giving mixed messages here.
And when it comes to Fallout, I'm just because I swoon.
You're sick. Anyway, yeah. Square Enix is releasing Final Fantasy VII on the PC. It will be... They're adding some new features, because that's what everyone wants. They aren't updating the graphics. They aren't doing anything to the actual gameplay. They are offering 36 achievements. Are achievements really worthwhile outside of a larger ecosystem, for one thing? Like,
are they Steam achievements or like Square Enix achievements?
I think they're just they're Squeenix. They're
Squeenix achievements.
They're Squeenix achievements. It's hard to say. Although knowing them,
here's the question though: is that everyone that's played Final Fantasy VII already? Are you really going to go back and get all those achievements?
Yes.
Like, haven't you already, you know, mastered the Knights of the Round materia like three times over?
There's some sick people out there, Evan, who will totally like our achievo whores.
Evan has a compulsion where he has to get every achievement in a game. So if you had the Knights of the Round achievement, Evan would get it.
But the thing is, I don't want this game. That's the thing. Like, I don't buy games just to have the achievements.
No, you want to play
it. And having achievements isn't a selling point for me. And like I was saying, especially outside of a larger ecosystem. Like, with Xbox Live, all of the games add to your point total. And it kind of makes some sense.
But what about, like, Diablo 3, for instance? Those achievements are not anything part of a larger ecosystem. That's confined within...
It's its own ecosystem, though. It's a large enough ecosystem.
And there's a billion achievements, so... And it's very satisfying when that little part lights up and there's noises and streamers and
I think you think of fireworks or I just think of nothing when that happens. I'm like, meh, meh.
I'm easily
Skinner thing.
It's really what it is. It's a total Skinner box, and I'm just hitting the damn button.
It's very much the Pavlovian response Evan has.
I needs the Bing. But it also includes cloud support for games, which if they don't make a pun of that, I'm really disappointed in that. I hope that the animation is actually Cloud picking up a file and like walking off into the distance.
That's sad music plays?
Yes, like the Hulk, the end of Hulk.
No, there's sad music in Final Fantasy VII.
There's no sad parts in Final Fantasy VII. What are you talking about? Just nothing but happy slappy the whole time. But they're also...
unicorns.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
No one dies.
No one dies.
No one.
No
Ever.
One. And then they're also adding what they're calling a character booster, which I don't know if they've actually gone into...
It's muscle milk for Cloud.
Is this so you don't have to grind to get to Knights of the Round? Because what the hell is the point of having the achievement then?
Well, you can finish Final Fantasy VII in 4 hours.
All they have... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, so basically this is Final Fantasy VII Mystic Quest mode? Is that what we're going for?
Yes.
Yes. They haven't really said what the character booster is. All they've said is that it will give you a mechanism for if you are stuck, it will allow you to like refresh your characters. So it's almost like a get out of jail or get out of crap free card. But they've also said that it's not going to cost real money because that was the big complaint. They're basically saying you can just pay your way is the complaint. You know.
I feel like what they're trying to do is resurrect the story of Final Fantasy VII. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think before Advent Children, there was like a DVD, on the DVD, there was like a walkthrough of the Final Fantasy VII story.
Yes.
Like, why not actually turn it into like an actual anime or some kind of movie where you can sit down and just... I played 90 hours of the game. Mm. I don't want to play 90 hours again. I just want to enjoy the
Maybe
story.
There's a new generation of people, blah, 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 blah,
that,
blah.
That want to play a 15-year-old looking game?
Yeah, retro's cool again, man.
But that's in like that awkward divide where like it's not retro enough and it looks bad.
It's kind of like when people like it's like I went to the Pride Fest and people were like wearing snap bracelets and I was kind of like looking, I'm like, really?
Well, those have been popular for a couple of years now again.
Have they?
Oh, yeah.
God, I feel
you're
very...
on the wrong messenger boards.
Apparently.
You shop at the wrong gas stations.
Buy a lot of your accessories at gas stations, do you?
Oh,
Ian?
That's exclusively
what are people, like, listening to Bush and stuff
actually,
like that
they
again?
Just came up with a new album.
Oh, they did?
Jesus.
Yeah, people are listening to Bush.
The Offspring have a new album.
I know Offspring are going to be at Riot Fest, and I'm down there in Chicago in September. And I was like, what the hell?
He also makes hot sauce, though.
I think POD is coming out with a new album, too.
Yeah, it came out this week. Yeah,
they did.
What the hell?
When I was buying Aesop Rocka to see POD.
I thought they were dead.
I was at least hoping. Jesus.
Apparently,
next you're going to tell me that Jankos are a thing again.
No, Creed is making another album.
Yeah, but no one cares.
No, that's a lie, too.
Yeah, well... Speaking of the Offspring, former host Courtney, he actually referred to that album as a shit sandwich.
which is the new one?
The new one. In that it's the beginning and the end are really good, but the middle's terrible.
Oh, really?
So that's what he said.
Because I listened to the first track and didn't really dig it.
Well, the first track on the CD or the single?
The first track on the CD.
Oh, okay. So I'm just passing the message. I haven't heard it.
With love from Courtney.
That's
it
right.
Is a shit sandwich.
Yes, I was worried.
It's a box quote right there.
I was worried when I saw Xbox Live was featuring something about Linkin Park, and I was like,
they have a new album too.
They were a Jeopardy question today, actually.
Jesus,
you're getting old, man.
They're getting all over the place, man.
My God.
So, Chris, were you a big Final Fantasy? Are you a big Final Fantasy or RPG guy? And are you one of those crazy people that really wants them to remake it?
I really enjoyed Final Fantasy VII. I don't want them to remake it. I want them to make a new Final Fantasy that's as good as Final Fantasy VII.
Yes,
it's that's what I'm going for. It really feels like they've kind of gotten away from the open world exploration type deal that has kind of been a hallmark of the early part of the series. And you know, the thing that was great about VII was that you could just run around wherever you want. Like you have the plot line, but at the same time, there's this huge open world to explore. And if they could do something like that, combined with their whole like monster hunt thing that they've had going on in the last couple games, I mean, something like that would be great.
So basically, they should let Rockstar make the next Final Fantasy game.
Yes.
Well.
Or they should hire someone who knows how to write a plot that isn't like, oh, time travel. Yeah, that'll make everything make sense.
I think that's just a Japanese thing. I think of all the Final Fantasy or of all the franchises, that is always probably the most Japanese, short of maybe Persona. But it's just in the we're gonna structure this story in a way that makes no goddamn sense to a Western audience.
Have you played 13-2 at all?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, it's horrendous.
Severed was actually better than 13.
Well, plot-wise, it's awful because it's basically we're going to go into the future to change the past. What universe does that make sense in?
Bizarro world?
I don't know.
Maybe it's like Futurama, that Futurama episode where they can only go forward. They just have to loop. They have to loop reality back around.
Square Enix is sitting in their office, just like, huh? This Futurama guy, he's got some of this macaroni. He's really got it.
Futurama's made by one guy. It's the Futurama guy.
Yeah, that guy. He's really got it.
Yeah, according to Einstein, we'll get back to where we were going eventually. We'll just keep going forward.
I like that. Which is weird because Square Enix can do a time travel story well. They've done it. It's called.
They did Chrono Trigger.
They did Chrono Trigger. Mm-hmm. It's like they can. They figured this out. Granted, all those people are probably long gone at this point. But
yeah, that's the problem. Well, the problem is all the people that made the really good Super Nintendo RPGs like Secret of Mana, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VI. You know, those they're not the ones that are making them anymore. Now you've got these huge production teams that it almost seems like they're designing it by committee. And you don't have a overarching vision of this is how the game should be, this is what the plot's going to be. And I think they've kind of suffered for that.
Well, the one criticism I always heard against Final Fantasy, and to be honest, I haven't played anything since 10, is like, you really got to play the first 30 hours to get into it. And that's a turnoff to me.
Oh, yeah.
And from what I remember from Final Fantasy 10, which a lot of people said was their favorite, was running left to right across the screen and then right to left. Like, you're not choosing a path, you're just running upon a path, and you'll encounter monsters as you go, and I found it really boring. You're running to cutscenes. I'd rather watch a 2-hour movie.
You know, when I was playing 10, I when I first got into it, I was very much in that camp. But it was, I think, the storyline of 10 saved that, I think, in a lot of ways. Because if you look at 7, you know, yeah, there's parts of the story that are good, but as a continuous through line, it's kind of the same argument we had with the Grand Theft Auto games, where if you open up the world enough, it's really difficult to write a compelling story the whole way through.
Yeah,
that allows you to just meander off, and because it screws up the pacing, it screws up.
Yeah, that was me and you's mine and yours complaint with Arkham City.
Yeah, exactly.
Was the same problem.
But Red Dead Redemption nailed it. I hate that I keep coming back to that game, but it did so many things right.
It is a damn good game. So
yeah, it's special.
Sorry, Chris, you sounded like you had something to say in there.
Oh no! Well, I was going to say it seemed like really the only game I've seen do it well was Final Fantasy VI, and I think the reason they succeeded was that it wasn't so much that you had a main character, but you had a group of, you know, 10, 11 characters that all had their own compelling stories. Like, you know, you weren't just trying to tell a single story. Mm-hmm. You gave the characters this world. Then as a player, you almost like the narrator, you know, like, especially after the world cracks, like you can beat the game without collecting half of your characters.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Spoiler alert for those who haven't played it.
For a 20-year-old
game.
You know what? Game Series actually did that really well. Was the Suikoden series.
Those were cool too.
Yeah, I don't know why they haven't
what
made a new one of
to
those.
The Konami RPGs?
Oh, I don't know.
Because the Suikoden.
What happened to Konami, period?
They had Vandal Hearts.
Yeah, Vandal Hearts was awesome. Although they did release Vandal Hearts, they did release kind of a prequel game on PSN.
Oh, cool.
Last year, I think it was. I haven't played it, but I've heard decent things. But no, like the Suikoden series, because that was part of this huge narrative of we need to, you know, it was kind of like the BioWare model just writ really large, where it's like we have this horrible crisis, so we need to build up this army. Whereas with BioWare, it's like, oh, we need like a dozen guys. It's Suikoden. We need 100 characters.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so it made sense to kind of blow it out and be able to wander around because it made sense for the story.
Oh my god, just imagine if Mass Effect had done that. I think I'd still be trying to finish one.
They'd never release it because it'd be 17 years of dialogue they'd have to record.
Another good one was Wild Arms, the original Wild Arms. That was a great RPG.
Yeah, Wild Arms will do.
Any game where I can shoot a goblin in the face, that I want that game.
In the face.
So I'm assuming none of us will be buying this Final Fantasy VII. It's kind of funny. Wow. Someone compared the original specs from the PC release from a while ago.
Really, they should be no different if they're not updating the graphics.
Well, yeah, that was kind of the what they were saying. It's like they're not doing anything other than adding achievements, cloud saves, and this character booster.
And they're still going to charge you $40 for it,
probably. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, the specs they want aren't really that egregious. Windows XP, a gig of RAM, a 2 GHz processor, and a DirectX 9 card. So I mean that's certainly nothing big, but the original one, someone actually put it in the.
Well, I'm gonna guess like a Pentium 133 or maybe a 100.
Very good, 133.
24 megs of RAM.
32.
Oh, damn, and probably like a gig of hard drive.
260 megs of hard drive.
It runs from the CD. Runs from the CD.
See, you're thinking too big, man. Yeah. Gigs were still a
two meg of video memory and a 4-speed or faster CD-ROM. Remember when CD-ROMs you had to buy a certain speed?
Could you install it from floppies?
Yes, I think you could. I remember
that because there was always that threat that if you bought a CD burner that was too fast, you would screw up the burn of a CD.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Because you're like, I'm going to burn this shit at 32X, and then you're like, oh, it sounds like shit.
Yeah.
I like how now I don't even think about that because it's like it takes time and I just walk away from my computer and when it's done it.
Wait, you burn CDs still?
I still do, yeah.
Wow, you are a.
My car's got a 6-disc changer. It's convenient to have 6 discs in there with MP3s on them.
Yeah, but I just got my iPod.
Yeah, sometimes you don't want to pull out the phone or hook up anything. You just want it right there. I blew your mind that people still burn CDs.
I know. I'm bewildered by that. I thought that was a thing that. It's like my.
I'm using a Blu-ray reader to burn CDs, though. Let's keep that in mind.
No, see, it's like I've. It's been amazing now because like on the when I go DJ weddings, the whole deck system that I have, I no longer have to use CDs. I just plug in 2 flash drives, and I'm good to go. Like, and I just it makes life so much easier now that it's like I can become super ADD with what songs I want to play next.
It's good for you. That's exactly
Because I will, now that I have this, I will change my mind on the next song like 3, 4, or 5 times sometimes.
I'm lucky if I get 20 seconds into a song at this point.
Well, that's why
I mean, it sounds like I can change. Yeah, I can't change a song 20 seconds in. People might get mad. And
no, I'm driving. I do what I want. You don't know me.
I'm DJing weddings, not when I'm driving.
But he's driving the turntable.
I'm driving this wedding, baby.
Into the ground. Next
That's
story.
Right. All right.
Next story.
I really was super jazzed for this. It's funny, we were talking about Rocksteady before. The rumor right now that the Rocksteady's next game will be Batman.
Of course. That's their bread and butter.
I did like Penny Arcade. Apparently Gabe believes that Rocksteady Batman is its own genre at this point. Like, you should make games like Rocksteady Batman. Like, that is its own style of
like
game.
Like, when you're
now
cloning a game, it's a Rocksteady Batman clone.
Exactly.
I like it.
See, I'd like Rocksteady to do other DC characters. I really think
there's really not that many interesting DC characters.
Batman's I think, translates the best to gameplay.
I don't know why. I just really want a Green Lantern. So I really want something Green Lantern good. Because that movie was such a fucking letdown that
Green Lantern would be hard to do right, though. Because it's like you can imagine it and make it with your fists. You know, like, how do you do that in a video?
Green Lantern would be easy. You just give the players console command and let them create whatever they want.
Minecraft. Green Lantern
Green
edition.
Lantern Minecraft.
Exactly.
We're putting that one in the vault, by the way. No one there. Someone license Green Lantern. Somebody do that for us. And then
Warner Brothers has already licensed Green Lantern.
We could buy that from him.
I'm sure. Yes.
You think so?
I'm sure.
Anyway, what they're saying now is that the next Batman game will actually be set around the first time that Batman meets Joker, and it will be set in the Silver Age. So it's a throwback game.
So I'm
Gadzooks.
So does that mean when you punch somebody, it shows like punch
Pow!
Or kapow?
That'll be a DLC, a scanner of some sort.
But that's an interesting take, because the Silver Age of comics was kind of lighthearted and had a lot of that kapow and zang and all that.
Yes. And according to Wikipedia, the Silver Age runs from 1956 to 1970.
Mm-hmm. Whereas the Rocksteady Batman genre is very dark and brooding, and it's Batman is a hulking
Miller,
yeah, very
style.
Frank.
Yeah,
I just want some bat shark repellent. That's all I'm asking for.
How many times have you seen the Batman the movie, the original one with Adam West?
Probably only once or twice, but there's so many good clips of it on YouTube. You can probably see it in its entirety just by watching YouTube clips.
But the shark repellent, I think, is the one that sticks.
It's the best one.
He's very prepared. I don't know why. Okay, in Arkham City, he's carrying like 60 gadgets on him by the end of the game.
Totally plausible.
Yeah, it's totally plausible that he would have shark repellent.
Just, what's this in my back?
You know, thank God Rob Liefeld never got a hold of Batman. Because, I mean, he can already fit like 70 things in his one little belt. If you add the Rob Liefeld belt where he adds like 17 other belts to him.
Please explain what you're talking about. I am not.
Rob Liefeld. Oh,
I am not as nerd as you.
Basically, Rob Liefeld is the reason why 90s comics were terrible.
Rob Liefeld is the guy that like always had problems proportionately drawing shit, right?
Yeah. Just look up Rob Liefeld is terrible, and you'll find plenty of posts about how
the legs are two twigs, but the chest is like a massive.
Yeah, like he can't draw feet, so he always finds ways to like hide feet or position people so that their feet aren't showing. And read some of these posts; they're really funny. But one of his big things was everyone had pouches.
Yeah.
Like, they always had, like thigh belts that had, like, 7 pouches on them, and they never explained what was in the pouches, so.
Bubble candy.
It's shark repellent is really what it was. Everyone's overprepared for sharks.
Or their dignity.
I doubt they carried that with them. I'm assuming that's the one thing they didn't bring
with
them.
The gripping man thong kind of takes away the dignity, so you need to hide it somewhere.
I want Rocksteady to make more things.
No, shit.
And
yeah.
Especially now that apparently the company that made Prototype is being shut down.
Yes.
Those two are always very good for the open world, do lots of crazy shit games. So Rocksteady is pretty much the only one left.
It just, the problem is again, I was like, my worry is that they're going to go back to that open world thing in Arkham City, and it didn't. The way they wrote the story, had they eliminated that whole like sense of urgency, I actually probably would have enjoyed the way they handled Arkham City.
Absolutely.
So if they do it something like this, where, you know, they'll bank it open world, but it isn't so much like, well, we're giving you the illusion that Batman is dying, so you have to do this shit. It's like, but wait, you want me to go save random dude getting beat up in the alley? Batman don't care. Batman's dying. Gotta.
Yeah, Batman got cancer.
Yeah, Batman has bat cancer. I don't give a shit if somebody's getting punked in the alleyway right now.
So no urgency, Rocksteady.
So don't give me the sense of urgency with it, unless you're, of course, giving me the thing where Batman has the bomb that he's holding over his head, like in the old series, like in the Adam West series, and he's got to get rid of it somehow.
So I think it should be a whole level of just him running around with holding a bomb over his head.
Like Bomberman, Batman style.
I'd play it. No. All right. Let's do some Kickstarter stuff, shall we?
A couple things.
I was just curious what your thoughts on this are. Penny Arcade is doing a Kickstarter.
About what?
All right, so the synopsis is they want to go ad-free. They want to be able to focus their creative talent on actually producing content for their readers and not worrying about where their ad funds are going to come from. So really the Kickstarter is like, if you give us money, we will take away our ads and be able to spend the year focusing on content for customers.
Yeah, so the goal is to raise $250,000, and that will get rid of the top banner. If they go up to, I think it's $525,000, all the ads on the homepage will be removed.
And then I think at the $1 million mark, all ads on all sites Penny Arcade related are gone.
And they're doing a couple other things as they go up. As they continue to raise money, they'll be doing original strips. They're going to bring back a podcast if they make $925,000. And they've got stretch goals up to $1.4 million. At this point, but as of this recording, now granted it's only been going for a day and a half, they are at $186,000. So I can almost guarantee they're going to make at least their first goal.
Yeah.
But I only bring this up because there was this thing about how Kickstarter should really be for new things and not necessarily for established.
Yes, but then we couldn't have had a Kickstarter.
We are far from established.
But so in an interview, because people were. I foolishly went on Destructoid and started reading the comments. And they are Penny Arcade haters.
Simpleton, yes.
And everyone's like, well, they're clearly against the rules of Kickstarter. Let's just mark them as, you know, spam, and then Kickstarter will take them down. And first thing I think is, like, clearly, Penny Arcade talked to the Kickstarter people before they put up their Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah. So in an interview, it has to be approved before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in an interview, Robert Chu was like, oh, yeah, we talked to the Kickstarter people. We talked about how to do it. Is it legit? How do we do it? And the Kickstarter people agree that this was a fine use of their service. So that argument seems to be people that aren't connecting the dots. Like, as a business, you will probably make sure that the funding source you're trying to go through is okay with what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just going to ignore the fact and just set it out there and let it go. I don't know. It just seems like a foolish argument.
Chris, did you have a thought there?
I'm just trying to remember the last time I ever bought anything based on an online ad I saw at a website, and I can't remember a single item I purchased.
That was kind of the interesting plot point for me, where it was like, so they need $525,000 to go a year free without ads on the main page, which to me implies that they're making $525,000 a year in ad space. And it's like, that's damn good for one thing, but it's also like, How is that possible? But what was interesting is I was reading the comments on the Kickstarter, and there was a lot of people saying Penny Arcade was the first website I ever whitelisted for my ad blocker because the ads were very relevant, and since they personally vet all of the ads that they're doing, it's not, you're not going to get shit like, you know,
the Envoy whatever MMO.
Yeah. God, that Envoy. Or it's not Envoy, it's like Veoneer. It's
there's a bunch of them, but that's how you know you're on a shady website.
Yeah.
So when you have the "Come play, my lord," and it's some chick who
spilling out of her blouse.
Right. Yes, yeah.
The thing that's weird though is that, like, and this may just be me, but like reading the sites, like I pay much more attention to the updates, like when Tycho talks about a game. Like
For sure.
You know, that's what I'll pay attention to. Like, I could care less what's scrolling on the side or at the top. Like, I mean, I just tune those out. Like,
I'm the same way.
Been on the internet for over a year, like, figured out, you know, just kind of tune them out.
Well, right. I'm the same way. And what I found interesting was So first off, this doesn't elicit a lot of rage or happy thoughts from me. It's like a lot of people said, it's the NPR model. If you like it, donate to us, and then we don't have to advertise, and we don't have to struggle to make the next year goal, right? But there seemed to be a lot of rage for this idea, thinking that it's just stupid and it's awful. Well, and everyone's saying, like, if you don't want ads on their site, use ad blocker. But, like, to me, that's also offensive, because now you're taking money away from Penny Arcade altogether.
Well, here's the thing. The problem with a lot of this, and we've talked about this, we talked about this in journalism school, is that the biggest problem a lot of these publications are dealing with now is that they never charged in the beginning. In the mm-hmm. beginning, when newspapers and sites were, you know, getting their feet wet on the internet, nobody charged for content. And now we've kind of gotten, I mean, we're in this day and age where we do not like paying for anything. We get irate when we have to pay for something. And we are, what, you know, 10, 15 years now past that point where, you know, we were first getting our feet wet in the internet. Now the internet is a part of our everyday lives, and a lot of people get their content off the internet now instead of through print publications or whatnot. People think it's ludicrous that they would have to pay for something, but what this, you know, to me would be like, well, why can't we look at something like this? We've had, what, 2,600 people donated at a rate of 180, almost 187,000 grand mm-hmm. in the time they've had this open.
Yes.
Why not? Why haven't we gotten to the point where we can be like, guys, we're adults, or at least we're at the point where we could probably afford to have some of this content, maybe not locked, but, you know, a paid access to a lot of these, you know, these sites like this, mm-hmm. and to eliminate that thing right there, you know, so you don't have, if ads really bug you, you don't have to worry about ads because you've been paying, you know, the $5 a month or whatever. I mean, that's the thing that really irks me when I look at something like, say, Hulu Plus, is the fact that I get upset about, because I am paying $8 a month and I still have to deal with stupid ads. So that, you know, I can understand being upset there. But if you're getting something for free, they've got to get their income from somewhere. Yeah. And that's how they do it with ad space. You know, if you're using ad blocker, it's to me, in a way where it's just like, okay, well, you're kind of negating their ability to make money.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things we've talked about a lot on the show is we definitely feel like people deserve the right to make money for their creations. Mm-hmm. If they're doing something...
Especially us.
But if they're doing something creative or something technical and they're putting out a good product, I feel like you should reward them at some point. You don't necessarily have to click on their ads, but at least viewing the ads. Like, Penny Arcade doesn't do pop-ups. They don't do anything obtrusive. They don't do, like, the stupid ads that make noise at you. It's very...
Yeah, I mean...
It's easy to ignore. It's easy to tune that stuff out.
You go to Yahoo anytime to read the news, and it's just like, within the first 5 seconds, you've got some annoying thing covering the page that you've got to figure out where the hell's the damn close button. Because mm-hmm. if you don't figure it out correctly, you're going to go into some
Everyone
weird...
at work is going to know you're not working.
Yeah. Exactly.
But no, so I mean, I don't understand the rage. That's where I'm coming from. It's like, I just don't...
There's also just a lot of general Penny Arcade rage.
There is.
Yeah. Well, and again, like I said, I think the rage comes from an area where we've gotten so accustomed to not having to pay for our information that... you know, now you've got people who expect that the stuff has to come for free. And how dare they even entertain the thought of allowing people to voluntarily give them money for this? That mm-hmm. just seems
and
sick.
I also think, mm-hmm. you know, there's that, but it's also compounded by the fact that Penny Arcade is the big dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one thing, I mean, the same people that will drop, you know, $40-$50 on, like, the Humble Indie Bundle, knowing that that money is going to the developers and supporting indie games and all that stuff, they don't consider Penny Arcade to be indie, mm-hmm. and therefore they are part of a machine that they don't deserve money. But it's
people,
I mean, it's
forget. I mean, they're still independent. As my understanding is correct.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not owned by even Destructoid is owned by a larger parent company.
Yeah,
at
but,
that point.
Yeah, but they're owned by the company that is run by the people that run Destructoid. It's not like owned by AOL or anything like that.
Still, it's, you know, there's still a parent company behind it that runs other websites.
I do think there is just general Penny Arcade rage, too.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, the two guys, mainly Gabe, I guess, he's a little bit of an offensive guy. He'll go out there and he'll speak his mind, and he really doesn't care. He said in interviews before, I will burn this company to the ground just to prove my point. I don't care. And, I mean, it's just like the nerd culture. Everyone is very opinionated. Everyone will stick to their guns to prove their point.
That's bullshit, Ian.
Yeah. Anyway, as he's gone, he's burned a few bridges with a couple groups, I think, and Destructoid's one of them, because at PAX East last year, they kicked out, I think, one of the Destructoid reporters? Or they somehow offended Destructoid at one of the, you know. So it's a kind of understandable why this one community feels slighted by this group, too.
Well, communities are easily slighted.
Especially in gaming crowds.
Exactly. So
I think another issue that people are having trouble wrapping their minds around is the fact that Penny Arcade can afford to basically what they're saying is we already have this $525,000 worth of advertising revenue. We want to see if we can make it just off other people. But people are looking at that and saying, well, you already have this $525,000. Why aren't you, you know, kind of leaving this pool of Kickstarter money for companies that are just starting up? Like, you're already established. You already have these funds available. And, I mean, who knows if, you know, you're taking away from something else. But at the same time, it's one of those things where it's like, well, you know, you could potentially be taking away from someone else's Kickstarter, and you don't actually really need it right now.
But again, that's where my argument comes of why not make a premium service type thing?
Yeah.
Because that's where exactly, to me, you know, if you're looking to make money and get around ads, that's how you do it. You know, it's a lot of the games you can buy on Android. One of the nice things is you can be a cheap ass and not pay anything for it, or you can drop the, you know, $1 or $2 and not have to deal with the ads.
But it's I mean, from a business side, it's two different decisions. The NPR route versus, you know, we're going to do yearly drives, or the Wall Street Journal approach, which is you're going to have walled content.
But you're getting money either way. That's what I guess I'm failing to see a problem
if you're
here.
Trying to drive a fan base, if you want to excite the people that go to PAX that may not have the money to give to them,
It's fine, and they just have to deal with the status quo. I mean, there gets to a certain point where, yeah, you're big enough as Penny Arcade. You have a very large fan base.
So I think the trick, though, there is.
But if ads really bother you enough,
I don't think they're coming at this that the ads are bugging the consumer. I think they're looking at how much productivity they lose to wrangling in ads, creating the copy for the ads, spending time getting the advertisers, because they only have 14 people in their company.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend all this energy trying to get ads, and as we said, they vet through them, they make sure they're good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably looking at, like, what could we do if we didn't have to spend that time trying to get those advertisers?
And I also think that there's an element, at least the impression that I've gotten from the things that they've said, is that they're just doing this to see if it's possible.
Yeah.
Like, they've said, if we don't make our Kickstarter, we'll be fine. It's just we're just seeing if this is something that is doable, given our size and things like that. Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing for a site like ours to go and say, okay, we're going to be ad-free, we're going to give away all our content for free and all that stuff. But Penny Arcade has expenses that we don't.
Yeah.
You know, and it's another thing entirely.
Hookers.
Well, yes, mostly. But, I mean, it's another thing entirely for just something of that size. I mean, like they said in the post that announced this, you know, 12 years ago, they ran the site completely on donations. And they were both out of work. They were all this stuff. Now they've got like 14 employees. They run a worldwide charity. They run two conventions. And it's so big. They kind of want to see if it's even doable. And they can also see why Kickstarter got involved with that. Because, yeah, Kickstarter is like great about, you know, doing these new, you know, new and innovative products. But I can also imagine that there's a part of them that is seeing the success of Kickstarter and thinking, we can be another financing angle beyond, you know, merchandise sales and angel investors and all of these other things. We can kind of grasp this moment of this crowd financing.
You know, and with the success of
the bank of Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. I mean, they want to do that.
What's really funny with that is I'm really surprised that PayPal or somebody like that hasn't looked at this and either
PayPal's working on something like this.
Either consider doing something like this or just flat out buying out Kickstarter. And that's eBay as the parent company that owns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If any company would buy it, it would be Amazon, because they've already got a good relationship with Amazon since all the money goes through Amazon payments.
Okay.
And Amazon's making fat bank off of this because they got to do shit. They basically sit there and process the credit cards. That's all they do.
Yeah.
And they're making ungodly amounts of money off this. So, but, you know, that's nice and all that Penny Arcade's making you know, their money on Kickstarter now, but a slightly bigger deal is going on at Kickstarter right now.
Sorry.
There's a new console in town, supposedly, or will be shortly. Something called the... Well, is that how you... How do you pronounce this? I've heard like three...
I have no idea.
Is it, the way I read it is Booyah without the B. The Ouya.
The Ouya. That's almost dumber than we.
For porn, right?
Ouya, Wii U. They could be brothers.
They could be. That's terrifying.
It sounds like Sim speak that you're both just saying
does.
Right there.
Ouya, Wii U. Ouya, wow. So yes, the company, I'm trying to find the name of the company that's actually putting this out, but they've announced they want to do a Android-based home console called the Ouya, or Wii U, or I don't know what the hell. Well, it's not the Wii U. I thought it was Ouya, but that could be wrong too. Who knows? And who knows? The name might even change in between now and then. But what they want to do is they basically want to make a completely... They want a Linux a console is basically what they
Android
want.
Android a console.
Well, yeah, in this case it's Android, but it's going to be an open source console. It's going to be rootable. It's going to be very cheap. The price point they're putting at it right now is $99. And it will basically run not only Android games, but it will run its own... Well, it'll run Android, but it'll run not only mobile games that are currently available for Android, but its own ecosystem of console games.
They should just slap an OnLive client in there and call it good then.
I can imagine that is in the works. But so what they wanted to do, this was announced earlier this week, that they wanted to raise, I believe it was $900,000.
Is that like $1.8 million now?
No. As of recording right now, they are at, as I try to load the friggin' Kickstarter, as of recording, they are at, drumroll please, $3.5 million, which I think eclipses the Tim Schafer one. And they still have 28 days to go on this thing.
They're taking money away from Penny Arcade.
They're taking money from... That's right, they are.
God. Bastards.
So, and actually, as far as game consoles, you know, concepts go, this one's fairly far along. They have a working prototype that people have seen, and...
It's not a Phantom?
It's not the Phantom. I mean, that was the first thing I thought of when I saw this, was the Phantom. Which, if you don't know what the Phantom... Chris, do you want to explain what the Phantom was? Or it maybe is. It may still be. They may still be thinking it's coming out.
Development. it was a console. What, like 10, 12 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, it was basically going to do everything. It would be better than the PlayStation. It would be like way better than the Super Nintendo. All this, all that, and it was in development for like 5 years. And supposedly they had a controller and a console, but it didn't ever actually really exist.
Yeah, wasn't like the old 3DO guys were working on that? I seem to remember that.
Yeah, it was something like that. Like, it's either someone from 3DO or Jaguar, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Was,
yeah,
like, involved.
Maybe a little CDI in there.
Yeah, a little CDI mixed in there.
Yeah, Commodore 64.
Paperware.
Yeah, it was terrible. But it was one of those where they were at like every convention for like 3 years straight, talking about how awesome this thing was going to be. And Chris is right. It was like they were just like, it's going to do everything. I think that was the first one where that was going to be online everything. Like, you were going to be able to buy everything online. Mm-hmm. And that was in the time when pretty much everyone still had dial-up. So that was even more just like, really? This is going
to
work?
I remember like when I was on dial-up trying to download the Dark Knight, like the old Dark Knight or Jedi Knight demo.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 100 megs. And like,
Dark Forces, you're probably thinking
of.
Yeah,
and like the modem kicked out of me like 3 times. So I had to download like a download manager so I could resume downloads.
That's how you know you're old, if you remember downloading a download manager.
Oh, man.
Wow. So, yeah, this thing will have... I mean, it's already got a lot of good names behind it. The creator of it is a woman by the name of Julie something-something. Where did it go?
Is that German?
It's Jesus of the Berlin something-somethings.
Okay.
Technology is your friend, Evan.
It is. I think the Percocet's wearing off. Julie Ehrman, so it actually might be German. she's worked at Gamefly, Vivendi, IGN, and she's actually rounded up a nice little cadre of developers that are interested in doing stuff. Jordan Mechner, creator of Prince of Persia, is on this. Notch from Minecraft wants to do stuff. Although he had the best quote, because he's basically like, if they can pull this off, it will be awesome. like when they quoted him, like he hadn't seen it yet. Like they just kind of pitched the idea to him, and his comment was basically like, if this works, it'll be awesome, and I'll be there on day one to develop for it. But it was just, I love the fact that they actually included that in the quote, that he basically said, if this comes out.
I feel like that's something you say, and everyone's like, clearly, if it works, it's awesome.
Well, yeah.
But he'll be there on day one with the pre-alpha, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He'll jump in with both feet.
So, Minecraft for the
The umlaut.
Buy
a goddamn consonant, please.
Umlaut.
Everyone should just start referring to it as a, oh yeah. Have the Kool-Aid man just kind of burst through holding the console.
I don't know why I was thinking like, why can't I think of it now? Randy Savage.
That
would also work.
Yeah.
Too bad he's dead. Otherwise, you could mascot him.
I know. That would have been awesome.
You can CGI him.
Well, they
do like the Orville Redenbacher.
Make him into a hologram. Like Tupac.
Hologram Randy Savage beating up hologram Tupac for the commercial for the Ouya. Got it now.
Beating up hologram Orville Redenbacher.
Yes.
That too.
Battle of the snacks. Slim Jim versus popcorn.
So the specs on this thing, it will be a quad-core NVIDIA Tegra 3 processor, which is the same processor that will be in the Galaxy 7.
Nexus 7.
Nebula 7. Insert.
Don't. No.
Insert astronomical.
Yep. It's the same. Yeah. Same processor. Yeah.
Same processor. It'll also be the Microsoft Surface. It's also in that one.
Yep.
With a gig of RAM and 8 gigs of built-in storage, and I think that's the Achilles heel.
So it's basically a Nexus 7.
Basically, yeah.
Without the screen.
Yeah, because doesn't it have even? It's the same video card and all that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I don't know if it has its own video card.
I think it's a system
handled
on a chip. Yeah. It's a system on a chip design.
It says it will be able to run stuff at 1080p, but will be less powerful than home consoles currently. It almost sounds like they kind of want to go, they're mixing like the Wii model, where it's low cost, kind of low power idea, with that kind of hacker mentality, because they've made a big deal about the fact that it will be rootable, it will be open source.
And games are free?
One of the stipulations is every game has to have a free-to-play element. If it's a free demo, if it's a subscription model, if something.
So kind of like Xbox Live then. Because every arcade game has to have a demo.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that, but yeah.
I think so. Or at least most of them do.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's stupid not to have a demo, mm-hmm. I think, but.
But
yeah.
with games like Spelunky, Super Meat Boy, Bastion, Braid, you know, kind of these like lo-fi to semi-hi-fi indie games, I could see them excelling on a platform like this,
mm-hmm.
where you can go to your friends like, oh, all these great games, $100 for the device.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the games are going to be $10 or less, or you know, whatever the price point
is. So what really is curious to me is how they're getting away with doing this at a $100 price point when you consider the reports that have come out that, you know, similar specs to the Nexus 7, and the fact that it's being reported that it takes about $160 worth of stuff to build in.
The 1200x800 IPS display accounts for a lot of that, as does the battery. Uh-huh. Those are two expensive components.
Okay, so let's take that out. How much are we still looking at for a cost?
Let's ballpark $75.
Okay. So
I can imagine they're still making money at $100 a pop.
Not much, though.
But again, at $100 a pop, you almost make it up on volume. It's like, yeah, you only make $10 a unit, but if you sell in Wii numbers, I don't think it will, but you know, I mean, yeah. Even if you sell a couple million of those, that's not bad money.
But this is, we were talking about the Xbox 360 with the $100 Xbox and the $15 a month subscription going after the Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon video on demand, mm-hmm. market. And all of those apps exist on Android, so there's no reason why they shouldn't work on this device.
Absolutely.
So it becomes a competitor for Hulu. Roku.
Roku, yeah, and Apple TV. This is really Apple TV with better games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also going to say is that, you know, their business model they're probably looking at is that where they're going to make most of their money is from the apps themselves. I mean, you get one Angry Birds, you know, app that comes out. If people are paying, you know, $2-3 a pop for the game, and you're getting a fraction of that, you know, there's, what, like 15 million people that downloaded Angry Birds or something like that?
Yeah,
today.
That's some pretty significant change right there.
Yeah, I've heard talk. I don't know if this was speculation or not, but that they would get about 30%, which is what Apple makes on their App Store.
That seems to be standard fare these days.
So, I mean, that right there is huge money. They'll also be including, and I think this is actually very smart of them, every console will come with the SDK. So if you know how to program on Android, all you got to do is buy the unit, and you can make your own and release your own games.
Yeah.
Which I think is very smart. And if you want to build that ecosystem from scratch very quickly, if you put the creation tools in the hands of the people, that will help that.
Question, how many vibrator apps will we have for this system?
I don't know if the controller can vibrate.
Oh.
First, not against it.
How many apps to make a vibrator connect to the system?
Yes, that's also question number two.
The prospect of a Bluetooth or a USB vibrator scares me.
Oh, I'm sure they're out there.
Because if you look through the deep dark
depths. Why does everything go to vibrators with
you? Well, because that's the deep, dark depths of the...
Of your soul, yes.
The Xbox Live indie arcade market.
It's all about the waggle.
Yeah. If you look through the indie games in Xbox Live, that's like every third game is a...
I suppose. That's why I don't go there.
Massage Trainer 2012 or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Speaking
2011
of,
was a shit game, though.
Yeah, but you need to play it to learn the story.
Yeah,
so just do it for that. Do it for that reason. The controller is actually cool. It's a wireless controller. It's kind of an Xboxy kind of thing. Two analog sticks, D-pad, and 8 action buttons, along with a 2-3 inch touchpad set in the middle for gesture-based controls. So it'll be able to not only be able to add touch things to that, but also easily port phone games and things like that. Without having to really radically change any of the control schemes.
Or it'd be rad if you could do a Bluetooth connection to your tablet to do tablet controls.
Oh, yeah. That'd be
Wii
sweet.
U right there.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, Fallout for the Ouya?
No, Fallout.
Damn it.
Sorry.
No Pip-Boy action.
So, like I said, I mean, it's got potential. And, I mean, when I first saw this, I was just like... After I thought about the Phantom, so
when you first saw you're like, ooh, ha.
No, I was just like, really? Like, I don't know what it is, but I'm... Hype angers me.
What if it said Sega, though?
No, I don't care. It wasn't so much that what they're doing, and when I calmed down and looked at what they're doing, I'm like, this is cool. It was more just the fevered pitch that everyone was like, oh my god, this is awesome. That immediately, that's like the first sign I'm not going to like whatever it is. So...
But the reality is,
new Warhammer is going to be really awesome.
No one will ever think that. So that's fine.
Well, what's interesting about it is if this idea is successful, you could essentially create a tablet or a phone that has a Bluetooth controller with HDMI out and have the same thing.
I like the potential of this machine.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a lot going for it. I think the price point is right for what it is. And this could be kind of... And I realize I might be dooming it by saying this, but this could be that mythical first step in getting Linux much more, or at least a Linux mentality. I mean, it's not, like we said, it's Android, but that kind of open source, do-it-yourself kind of mode, getting it out there into the homes. Because like you said, this is competing with Roku and Apple TV and all of these different things. I mean, you'll be able to do Netflix and all of that on this device, presumably. I mean, I would imagine it'd be stupid.
I would hope so.
Yeah. So I could totally see myself buying this. You know, at least for upstairs.
So would you drop on the Kickstarter then? I think it's like $120 right now. You're guaranteed to get one. The $95 one was taken.
They keep adding more.
Okay.
But the way they've been doing it is the first batch, because I don't think they were expecting the response.
Yeah, there was like 1,000 could buy it for $90.
Yeah, they're initially saying you can do 1,000 for $95, and they keep releasing more sets of those. I think the last one was like another 5,000 that people could buy, and I don't think those are they've gone through those yet because it's only got like 2,700 backers.
So you think about contributing?
I'm thinking about it. I mean, it's one of those where it's got a lot of potential, and even at $100, if it's a decent media appliance that I can put Android stuff on, that right there is worth it.
When's it expected to ship?
I've heard next spring. I'm trying to find a quote here, but I think because like I said, they've made the prototype. So it's a working prototype. They've shown it to people. People are getting excited for it. Now it's all about manufacturing, the industrial design. They haven't really finalized the controller yet. In fact, one of the Kickstarter things is that you'll be able to pick the symbols on the face buttons.
Nice. Is that like $10,000 or something like that?
Well, it's just everyone that contributes can vote.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be part of a survey, I guess. So it's Some of the Kickstarter things are kind of funny. I think for like $10,000, you actually get your username. Yeah, for like $10, you get your username reserved.
Yeah.
Because it'll be, you know, it'll be just like Xbox Live. But for like $10,000, you get actually your username engraved on the bottom of your, on the bottom of the unit. Like, that's awesome. That's really
cool.
How
many dollars?
I think it was a lot of money. I don't remember how much exactly it was. And I did forget about the bits with the Penny Arcade Kickstarter. Long time ago, when Kickstarter first started getting up, long time ago, like a year and a half, there was a Penny Arcade comic about
Dickstarter.
No, it was Gabe wanting people just to give him money.
Yeah, I think it wasn't the strip called Dickstarter.
It might have been called Dickstarter. Yeah. And the thank you gifts were things like, I will think about you while having sex. Or, yeah, you know, something like that. They've actually added all of the ones from the comic into the Kickstarter. But some of the Kickstarters are funny. For like $1,000 or like $100, or I don't forget how much it was, but it was like some of them, or no, it's $300 where either Tycho or Gabe will follow you on Twitter for a year.
Yeah.
I think for $1,000 they will retweet one of your tweets.
There's one where you could be like Xbox Live friends with them.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so
here's the question. What happens if Paul Cristofo, or what the hell do we pronounce that?
Ocean Media guy?
Yeah, Ocean Media donates this.
I doubt he has that kind of money, for one thing.
They would have to. They'd probably retweet him.
Well, they did say within reason. Yeah. So, I mean, they do get final editorial control over what they retweet. Otherwise, they just have him do, like really white supremacist shit just to get him in trouble. But, yeah.
So, Evan, are you going to donate to their Kickstarter?
No, not enough to get retweeted.
You
no.
can have Tycho and Gabe follow you for a year? That would be like your dream come true.
No. Gabe, I don't care about.
Tycho, though.
I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but I just don't care.
You're a Tycho guy.
No, because it'd be like
following yourself.
No, it'd be like following like your dream girl. It's like I'd just be too nervous about what I'd say, and I don't want to like disappoint him. And yes, I realize that
I'm sure
weird.
You would get lost in the.
I'd get lost in his Bunsen Honeydew good looks.
Yeah, the awesome people that he already follows and whatnot.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, no, they don't follow very many people.
They don't.
They follow like maybe like 50, 60 people.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean the Penny Arcade prizes are truly silly.
Well, they probably.
I do like the thing. I'll think about you while having sex. But, I think that's funny.
They probably follow you, but actually like block your things from their feed, like
Tweetcast. They have a secret. They have that Twitter account with no picture. But
well, no, I'm like Tweetcaster. You can actually like, you can still follow people, but block their posts from showing up in your feed.
Why would you do that?
So you can DM them.
So I don't. So like I don't have to actually like hear the things that come out of your you post stuff.
I post like once every 3 days.
But then like I don't want to offend you.
Yeah, I suppose.
If I wanted to. So, I don't actually do that, by the way.
I know.
I'm just saying if I wanted to be a big dick about it.
So Mr. Chris.
Yep.
We already talked about Secret World. We've already talked about your game store, which we actually had a listener question ask you if you've had a chance to play the new Warhammer rules.
I have.
And I know we talked about that a little bit on the email. Are you enjoying them so far?
Yeah, it seems fun, mainly because I'm playing Tyranids and monstrous flying creatures are pretty awesome under the new rules. They kind of just get down the board turn one and then start eating stuff turn two, so that's a welcome change.
All right. I'm just going through some listener questions for you, sir. Tall Paul wanted to know if you're bringing a full Warhammer set and terrain to training camp, which I don't know if we mentioned. Chris Cluey is a professional football player for the Minnesota Vikings. We've been talking about all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, oh, he's got a game store, and you know, he's got his band, Tripping Icarus, of course.
And he does the footballs.
The football just pays the bills.
It does pay the bills.
Yeah.
So are you bringing a full Warhammer set and terrain to training camp, and will you make the rookies paint your figures?
No, because I'd be worried about their paint job. I have a certain level of quality I like to uphold on my miniatures, so I don't think I'd trust them with it.
No,
but I will probably bring a couple figures to pass the time with.
But so not the full set, though.
No, not a full set. There's no one to play against.
So you can't even convince like Matt Khalil to start learning Warhammer.
Well, what I should do, I should try to see if anyone's interested in like maybe live action role playing it. I could set up the O-linemen as like the jacks, and a couple of the cornerbacks as infantry models. That'd be pretty sweet.
And I'm sure inside,
I would totally go to a football game. I almost called it baseball. Jesus Christ, I would totally go to a football game if you dressed up football players as jacks from War Machine.
War Jackson. Yeah. your quarterback's the Warcaster?
That would be awesome.
You could somehow incorporate the pirate ship in, or the Viking ship in front of Winter Park as part of the scene.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Now that I drive by,
the Pirates of the Broken Coast.
Badass, yeah.
That's right. Awesome. Let's see. GRS here said, I'd be interested why Warcraft never got into competitive gaming leagues. I don't know if he's referring to you as if your last name is Warcraft.
What is Chris Warcraft?
That is his Twitter account. Or if he's asking your opinion why Warcraft never got in. Yeah, I'm not really sure what this question is, but I'm going to let you guess and answer.
If it's towards me, mainly because I didn't have time to put in enough practice, and also because it looked like athletics would be more the way to go to pay the bills in the future.
Oh, how foolish you were.
The competitive gaming scene, like, you know, 10, 12 years ago was like, if you were the top two or three guys, you'd get money. Otherwise, you weren't making anything. So not a lot of bright spots there. Now it's really different, especially with League of Legends and StarCraft. I mean, you can actually make some money playing tournaments now. But
you're a big League of Legends guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I play quite a bit, actually.
I was actually just reading a story that has now supplanted World of Warcraft as the most played game online.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. They have a very good model set up in that it's free to play, and that, you know, you can unlock characters faster if you pay them money. But doing so doesn't really give you any advantages because they balance their characters very well. So I really like the game. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Would you give out your League of Legends username so people could find you?
Yeah, it's Loate, Loate, and then the number 5.
All right. We'll throw that in the show notes as well for people that missed that. And then we got one more listener question here from Shad. He's actually got a couple. One is... I'm assuming this is what are the best Xbox RPGs. He said what ate them, but I'm assuming that's a typo, unless he's got real issues, or he knows something that I don't. So I guess what are your favorite Xbox RPGs, and also where he can get a Cluey jersey. I'm thinking there's a store or two that
might
sell.
Possible.
Although
yeah,
I was hearing they don't stock
my jersey in stores.
They don't. They should.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I don't have quite the draw power of, you know, Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin III. I mean, I don't know why, but they won't put them in there.
Figured game stores would at least carry it.
That'd be awesome. GameStop's in Minnesota have the Cluey jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to GameStop and Best Buy. I mean, people buy it there, right?
Yeah. People buy stuff there.
Yeah. And then as far as best Xbox RPG, I would actually have to go with Lost Odyssey. I think that's one of my top RPGs of all time, actually. It's really well done. It's by the same guy that the original Final Fantasy creator. And
that was Sakaguchi, right?
Just a great story and just really well executed.
No, because I do want to see someone on the street wearing a Cluey jersey. I think if you go to the NFL.com store, whatever it is, you can custom make jerseys, and you can make custom make with players' names and numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So then you could be on the streets pimping our favorite gamer here.
Yeah. Yeah, as of right now, that's the only way you can get my jersey is to go custom order it at the NFL store.
They didn't even hold them at the Viking shop, huh?
Yeah, they don't stock my jersey.
Wow.
They don't like me.
We should get on this. We should write a letter to somebody.
We should write half a letter and then eat a sandwich.
We got to take a break. mid letter,
and then we'll go play the Xbox.
That's right. That's right.
Now, will you have any design in the new stadium? As in, can you know? Will they be able to feature Warhammer figures blown up a little bit somewhere in the new stadium?
If it was up to me, like, the entire upper deck would just be one giant miniature playing area. unfortunately, I don't think they're going to let me do that, so I'm sure they'll probably just put, like, hot dog vendors and beer machines and stuff.
Yeah, normally if you can't even get your jersey sold there, they don't give you architectural design credits.
But there's a local synergy opportunity here, Fantasy Fight Games and the new Minnesota Vikings Stadium.
There you go.
Two local companies.
It's possible.
Yep.
It's very possible. Well, let's see. Are you playing anything other than The Secret World right now?
No, nothing other than The Secret World. It's I don't think there's really anything coming out that I'm super excited for, except for Borderlands 2, I think. It's probably the next big game I'll be picking up.
Now, do you have a Vita?
Do I have what?
Do you have a Vita?
PlayStation Vita.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Do you have a PlayStation Vita?
Vita. No, I don't have a Vita. There's not really any games for it that have inspired me to want to play it. Like,
Would Borderlands 2? Because the rumor is that they want to put that on Vita.
Well, the thing is, I'd just buy it for either 360 or for PC, yeah. Since I have Borderlands on both of those. It's just one of the things where, I mean, the Vita, it's a cool concept, and it looks like it's got cool hardware. There's no games that strike me as, I have to have that game. I need a Vita to play it.
So kind of like the PS3 in the beginning.
Yeah. That's what I'm kind of, yeah. as a Vita owner and as an original PS3 owner, I'm kind of hoping for the slow burn going here. I picked up Gravity Rush, and that game is awesome on the Vita. And it's one of those things where, like, when you play some of the games that require, like, dual analog kind of third or first person shooter style, you realize it's not as accurate as holding a real controller with the big nubs. So they actually did something really smart with the through a six-axis part of it, where you can kind of get close and then use the six-axis to do the fine movement of getting right on the enemy. And it makes the controls really slick, so you use the stick to kind of get in the general area, and then the six-axis to get kind of really nice.
See, I like that, because I always have a problem, and I have this problem on my tablet, I have this problem on my phone too, where any game where all the control is tilt-based, where I end up like tilting it too far where I can't see what I'm doing anymore. Yeah. And it could be just because I move like a drunken idiot, so I'm not coordinated
enough.
Drinking
a couple tall boys in the evening will do that too.
Especially
along
on
with
the bus.
Your Percocet.
With the Percocet on the bus. So I have a long bus ride. But I always have a problem with that. So I like that you can.
He has a problem taking alcohol and Percocet.
I do.
But yeah, so I appreciate that it made the controls a lot more accessible, and the game is freaking awesome. So,
well, excellent. You playing anything else, Ian?
Gravity Rush and Theater Rhythm. I got into Minecraft a little bit. I spent like an hour hacking down some trees and died, and realized when you die in the game, it's for keeps.
Oops.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah.
Michael?
No, I mean, just been toying around with a little bit of a quantum conundrum. I've been kind of obsessing over when my Nexus 7 is going to, you know, when it'll finally show up, and I'm just really jazzed to have that thing, so.
You're, like, not at home waiting on your doorstep right now.
No, I'm not, but I have caught myself multiple times in a day, because my new job, the internet is not blocked, so I can actually, like, you know, they treat you like an adult there, and you can actually, like, you know, on your lunch break, read news. Well, I'm, like, obsessing, like, come on, somebody tell me when this thing's going to launch. Somebody slip and give me a release date. So, but, I was, you know, as always, I was kind of jazzed to pick up the college football, and then they told me, oh, by the way, you can't import anything into Madden. So I'm like, well, I don't really want to pay $120 for two football games when there's nothing. There's no benefit in me buying college football for this year. So
just making college football even more irrelevant.
Pretty much. So not really playing anything right now.
I had a couple days off of work recently.
Because you had cancer.
Because I had appendix cancer. And so I was home Thursday and Friday, off of work. Wife was still going to work, obviously, so I pretty much had...
She trusted you home alone.
She did trust me home alone.
And they put an antimatium skeleton in you, right?
I wish.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I thought that's what...
No.
Because I thought you had some, like freak healing powers now. Or
I do,
like,
but not in a useful sense.
Oh.
But the... So I had a couple days to burn just doing nothing. So I picked up the Gods and Kings expansion for Civilization V. And that's,
how many religions have you created?
That's pretty much all I did for 2 days was play that. If you played 4 and you were disappointed with some of the things that they changed or removed in 5, you must buy Gods and Kings right now. Because it makes that game so much... It pulls in... Just even if you didn't play Civ 4, if you've only ever played Civ 5, buy Gods and Kings. It is about as good an expansion as any other game expansion I've ever seen. I think the only thing close is Civ 4 Beyond the Sword. I mean, I think that was... That is about the amount of new stuff that they added. The religion stuff, I think, is really good. The because in 4, the religions, they were just kind of another thing. It was another way of controlling people. It was another way of gaining territory. There was diplomatic elements to it, where if you were going against someone who was a different religion, it made it trickier and all that shit. In this, what they are is they're free-floating bonuses. So as you generate faith points, you get to a point where you can set a pantheon, where you basically pick what your nation's god is. And that can be a whole different batch of bonuses. It can be stuff like God of Craftsmen, where all of your cities produce more. It can be you gain culture and faith from desert tiles if you have desert gods. You can kind of pick, and that's what makes it really flexible, is that you can tune it to what your situation is at. Like if you're surrounded by mountains, you can pick like a mountain god and gain faith points from mountain tiles, and you can really kind of tune it. And then as you go and you continue to generate faith points, you eventually have to generate a great prophet. It was another one of the great people, and they really kind of radically changed how the great people work in 5, and they all kind of do they all. Like, there's some things you can't do anymore. Like, there's no culture bombs.
That was the disappointment for me. It was no more culture bombing. Because that was... I loved doing that, especially in the middle of a military conquest where I was getting my ass handed to me. And it's like, well, at least I can hit him where it hurts sometimes.
Yeah. But what the Great Prophet lets you do is found a religion. And when you found a religion, you get to pick your symbol. And they've got, like, 12 symbols that you can pick from, all from major religions. The big three. You've also got, but they also go.
So Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and Chris Bosh?
No. They also got, things like Sikhism and Zoroastrianism and Hindu and Shinto and like all this stuff.
And I know in the Steam development kit, people have created more religions that you can add
yes.
in it too.
Yes.
You've got your stuff like, Flying Spaghetti Monster. People have added in,
I think Church of Satan's in there.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Church of Satan. I mean, just
clearly it has to be
everything you can think of
exactly.
is something in there. I think somebody even added Scientology in there just for fun.
And the symbol you pick and the name you pick doesn't do anything. It's just that's the way it's represented. So if you pick like the Christian symbol, that doesn't change anything. So you pick your symbol, pick your name, then you pick a couple bonuses. One is based on your whole culture. And it's similar to the Pantheon, where it's like, oh, these hexes do this thing. Or it lets you build things using faith points instead of gold. So, like, it lets you build cathedrals or something like that.
Can I build weapons using faith points?
I don't think so, but I'm not sure. I've only ever played 2 games. And yes, I understand that I played the game for 2 days, but I've only played 2 games of that. I'm still on one of the games. I think I'm on turn, 980-something. But
what year are you play on the?
I play marathon.
Yeah, marathon.
It's like 1913 right
now.
Yeah,
you play super long games.
I still got a couple hundred turns. Yep, for the end of the game. But it's awesome because I'm developing nuclear power, and everyone just got into industrial age. So fuck them.
so I built this bomb because fuck you.
It's pretty much what it is. So you can pick the gods, which lets you pick other bonuses, but then you also get follower bonuses, and that can be things like for every 5 followers in a city, that city generates extra gold or something like that. And that's where it gets interesting, because then there's the whole concept of spreading your religion to other cultures. Well, if all of your followers give them bonuses, you don't necessarily want to spread your religion to other cultures, because then you're giving them free bonuses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it becomes this kind of balancing act, like, okay, how far do I want to push this? But you can also, there's units you can build with faith points, depending on the bonuses you pick, as well as the social policies you pick. So if you pick order, you can use your faith points to build great engineers.
Hmm.
Or great scientists, I think, too. So there's a lot of uses for faith points there, but you can also build inquisitors, which you can use to send, and they destroy other religions.
And again, I told you at Chatterbox, if there better be an achievement in there for using an inquisitor as a Spanish.
I think you should.
There better be an achievement in there for that.
Just because of the Spanish.
But no one will ever suspect it.
Exactly.
No one would ever suspect it. So they added that back in. They added in, I think, like 12 more civilizations. I know I was fighting the Swiss for a while, which was pretty exciting. The dude looks like Santa. It's pretty awesome.
you killed Santa.
No, it was the Great German Swiss Alliance for a while there.
Wait, you played as the Germans?
Yeah, I played as the Germans.
You made delicious chocolates.
We did. Yes, we did. Now I'm the Egyptians.
Okay.
And we're kicking ass. I know they added the Swiss. They put the Celts back.
Okay.
Which is cool.
Who is their leader again?
It was Boudica. It was the woman. It was kind of the Amazon woman. The best one, and I don't remember if this was in 5 or not, but the Mayans, were they in?
They were in 4.
Were they in 5, though, originally?
No.
No, because he was awesome.
Because it's the Aztecs that are in.
Yeah, it's the Aztecs. I remember them. 5. But they added the Mayans, and their leader's hilarious because he's very emo. Like, there's all these, when you first meet him, he basically ends your conversation with, "Can we get this over with? I have an apocalypse to plan for." And every time you talk to him, he kind of like references this apocalypse that's coming. the animation for the leader, he's just all like slump shoulder, just very kind of depressed. It's like it was a nice little touch.
Nice.
The espionage they added, I'm not going into it because it's kind of basic still, but it's better than it was in the fact that it exists now and it didn't before. But it's certainly not like 4 where you're building spies and sending them off to do missions like that. It's closer actually to Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I got very into espionage in 4.
Yeah.
Especially if I was playing on way harder difficulties where people were beating me to technologies.
The one problem that I have with espionage is that, at least in 5, is that if you're in the lead by the time you get to espionage, it really doesn't do you a whole lot of good. It's really good for, like what you were saying, Mike, mm-hmm. where it helps you claw back it helps you learn things, learn technologies, things like that. But once you're on top, like I was mentioning, I'm so far ahead technologically that I can't steal anything from anybody.
And you can't sabotage their stuff.
Can't sabotage anything.
Yeah, see, that was the other thing I'd always do, too, is especially if you're in the middle of war.
Yeah.
It was the best to go sabotage their crap.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you can't do anything like that. I
thought it was either in 4 or one of the earlier ones, too, where your spies could convince people to
switch sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been a couple games that have done that. I think 2 and 3 at least did that.
You can't 4. Do that in 5, then, can you?
No, no. Okay, they're basically just like bonus. They're not bonuses, but they're not even units. They're just kind of things that you assign to cities.
Because I remember the annoying thing was with it, and I don't remember if this is in 4 or not, but if you chose democracy, you could not cause units to defect.
Yep.
Oh.
So, honestly, I think it's an amazing expansion. It's a little pricey. It's $30, but if you consider that as an expansion and not like a DLC pack, I think that's pretty reasonable. I've seen that they're offering a free demo of it, which I've never seen for a DLC pack before. But I would say if you've got Civ 5, you're stupid not to buy it. It's that good. So,
I will be getting it here eventually.
Yes, and some of the new wonders and things they added are a lot of fun. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing. And I've been playing a buttload of tablet games. I don't know why.
I hate to interrupt, but I got to get going.
Yeah, we're actually wrapping up. But so we'll just take this opportunity to say thank you, Mr. Cluey, for coming on once again.
Yep, no problem.
And celebrating our 300-ish show.
Sort of.
Asterisk. There we go, an asterisk. And we next time you're in town, because you will be coming back, I'm assuming.
Yes.
At some point. We need to get you on in the real world, I think, if that's possible.
Sure.
I realize you're a busy man, not only with that feats ball team that you play with, but you're all in of course your band, Tripping Icarus, which you guys still do gigs around here. I think I actually played with former Yags host Jeff.
Semeron
opened for them, I think.
Yeah. We played with them. We haven't done anything recently because our singer had some health issues.
Oh,
he was in the yeah, he was in the hospital for a while with a really nasty stomach infection. But yeah, we're hoping to get back into the swing of things once he recovers.
Awesome. Good luck to him.
Yes, good luck. Good luck to him as well. But yeah, definitely. Next time you're in town, let us know, and we can record something.
Cool.
We'll just hang out on your porch.
It'll just be Chris kicking our asses on War Machine.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you beat me in two turns?
Well, and yeah, so we'll let you go. But seriously though, Chris, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, take it easy.
And that was the great Chris Cluey, everyone. Yay, round of applause.
Yay.
Yes, very nice. For sticking late, because we told them it would only be about an hour, and this is over an hour and a half now.
Kickmaster for the Vikings.
But we missed a week, so we had a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but we could wrap this up, I would say. Ian wants to go home,
yes.
Apparently.
Yes.
Huge thanks to everyone that's listening so far. Big thanks to Ian.
Thank you. If you want to get some clothing to put on yourself, go to shop.fancypantsgangsters.com and buy t-shirts. I'm looking at them right now. They're quite fancy.
They are. Also, big thanks to Mike.
Yep. Thank you, everyone, again, for listening. And you can find out more stuff about, upcoming things happening in shows, interactions with us and such on the interwebs. You can be a fan of us on the Facebook at just looking us up at Yet Another Gaming Show. You can also follow us on Twitter at YAGSFPG.
Very good. And speaking of a couple of those things, the shirts, right now we've got our Fancy Pants Gangsters listener survey, which you can go to our website that and fill out. It's a very quick survey. I think it's like 12, 13 questions, takes about 10 minutes tops. Just let us know what you like about the site and the shows, what you don't like, how we can do things better, how much you listen. It helps us grow the network and just get a better idea of what you guys want to hear from us.
Has anybody listed me as a thing they don't like on
not
the
yet.
Network yet? No.
Not yet. They haven't listed you as a good or a bad thing yet.
No. So Laurel hasn't taken a survey.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone even knows you're on the show. I think at this point. So
I don't even know if I'm on the show half the time.
But yeah, take the survey. The links are on the website, fancymansgangsters.com. I don't know the survey link off the top of my head, but there'll definitely be a link in the show notes for this. But it's important that you try to get to it as soon as you can, because on this Friday is the cutoff. We're going to be drawing for some free shirts for all of the survey takers, or not all of them, but some of the survey takers will win a free T-shirt of their choice. But you need to have your stuff in by the end of the day Friday this week, which I think is the
13th.
It is Friday the 13th. That's right. So there you go. Also, make sure you guys listen next week. We got some big news about lots of stuff. So definitely listen to the show next week. We'll definitely listen to all the shows, but definitely listen next week. We'll have a big announcement that I'm looking forward to talking about in a sense. We'll just leave it at that. Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you for your continued support. Thank you to all the listeners that sent me a message after we announced that I had to go to the hospital. I got some really nice emails from people, and that was really, really appreciated.
You didn't get nice emails from us, though.
No. I still love that email chain when we were planning on the show. When we were planning on what we were going to do for last week's show, it was like, okay, Evan, what time are we meeting? What time is? And it was just like 4 or 5 emails of Evan. Answer your damn emails. And then Ashley comes in.
All from Mike, for the record.
No,
you had one.
No, but mine was like, it doesn't matter because like we all have stuff in the afternoon. Like,
yeah.
We all have deadlines. Like, just
yeah, because we were planning on recording during the day because we all had off for 4th of July. And it's just like, Evan, come on. What's going on? And then Ashley chimes in. I think he's in the hospital. So
you did a good job of communicating that.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I was a little distracted.
Yeah, no, you weren't. You were fine.
I was fine.
You were faking.
Yeah. I was, yeah.
In which case, then we decided you were an Odin sleep and we were going to fight for the throne of Asgard.
Mm-hmm. And then that's what woke me back up.
I stopped reading the email thread.
Anyway, thank you all for all of your support, and thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week. I'm assuming that's the one thing they didn't bring
with
them.
The gripping man thong kind of takes away the dignity, so you need to hide it somewhere.